All right. Well, now that y'all given me 10 things to be thankful for, I've got my 10-point message. So it'll be a little late tonight. No, not in Psalms tonight. No, I threatened to preach on Pastor's Psalm, but tonight I'll threaten. I haven't studied it. All right. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 13. And while you're turning there, I want to read something that might be kind of a treat for you. And while I'm reading this, you think of maybe who might have wrote this. Save the earth, they're calling, while their souls are bound for hell, and blinded, foolish Christians cheer, let's save the earth as well. So religion in its vigor takes up another hopeless case. Save the earth and the unborn and help the human race. Now behold a shameful sight on a street corner somewhere, a saved man and a lost, but no witness is there. Let's all just get together and forget our differences. We're all good on the inside, the foolish Christian says, but the difference can't be equaled, though none right now can tell, that one is bound for heaven, the other damned to hell. And that was a blessing to me. I found it in my stuff, but actually my little brother wrote that. And from him comes, he's got volumes of stuff just like that. And one of these days, if he ever gets back up here, he's been working on a sermon with poetry. And he could make a good one. I know he could. So anyways, Jeremiah chapter 13, that had nothing to do with the message at all. It was something I had that I don't know where I got. But anyways, Jeremiah chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 1 down through verse 11. Follow along with me in your Bibles, if you would, as I read. The Bible says, Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise. Go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, Arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it, and behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you're a good God to us, Lord. We do thank you so much just for being who you are, Lord, and thank you so much, Lord, for writing a book that you would tell us about yourself, Lord, that you don't expect us to serve you and to love you just unknowingly, Lord, but you gave us a book. You let us know about you and enter into a relationship with you. And that's a precious thing, Lord. I pray tonight that these verses we looked at, the message you've given me, would help these people know you better, to understand you a little bit more. And, Father, I just, again, just thank you for being so good to us, Lord, far more than we deserve. Bless us now in this time that we have. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 13, the Lord, in an object lesson, kind of sums up what he tells Jeremiah to preach to Israel. And all through the book of Jeremiah, this same thing is repeated in other forms. Well, basically, what was going to happen is, because of Israel's sin, they were going to be taken into captivity. And first of all, the Egyptians had come up, and they had pretty much taken over Jerusalem. They set up kings. They ran the country, and from Egypt there, they pretty much controlled the country. And because of that, it became like a welfare system. Israel began to just put their trust more and more in Egypt because they were controlling her. And but the Lord promised made a prophecy to him and said that the king of Babylon was going to come and he was going to take them away and he was going to carry them captive. And their instructions were very simple. Stand still. Don't run. Don't fight. Don't try to resist. You've sinned. This is coming to you. Just stay in Jerusalem. And if you stay, you'll prosper and you'll be all right. And from that, you get Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stayed. They were taken captive. And the Lord took care of them. But what is going to happen here in this story is that some are going to run, and they're going to try and fight, or they're going to try and run away, and they go north, and they run to the river Euphrates. And there in Isaiah chapter 30, you read another account of this, where the Lord says they're going to go there, and as they run, their pursuers will be swifter, and as they run, they're going to fall, and there's going to be a sacrifice to the Lord by the river Euphrates. A prophecy of the Lord against Israel because they weren't listening to what he said. Now, what he said to them, of course, was contrary to what they had believed in their national pride and everything that they were as Jews. They wanted to defend their country as much as they could. They wanted to stay there as much as they could. But the Lord told them that, hey, you're going into captivity. You can't resist this. It's my judgment on you for what you've done. Just stand still. And they didn't do it. And because of that, as we read in the parable, the Lord said, they're just like a pair of dirty socks. They're good for nothing. Just throw them into the clothes basket, and that's it. And the Lord discards Israel for a time and says, because you wouldn't listen to me, you've become marred, you've become unprofitable, good for nothing. Let me say unto you that the Lord's desire for his people, as we read in this passage, the first couple of verses, the Lord's desire for his people is that they would be to him a glory, and that they would obey his voice and hearken to the words of the Lord, and to do what he commands them to do, no matter what it is. I mean, that is why he wrote us the Bible. That is why he gave us his very heart and soul on paper, is that so we would know him and would do the things that are commanded to us, and his commandments are not grievous. And let me say this, that what I want to do is I want to liken Israel, as the Lord likened them, to a piece of clothing. I'm going to liken you to a piece of clothing here tonight. And they say you are what you wear, so we're just going to take that literally tonight. And to the Lord, we're a purchased possession. We're supposed to give off honor and glory of the Lord. We're supposed to compliment him and supposed to clothe him, and supposed to be to other people what they see of the Lord is what we ought to be. And let me say that naturally people give a lot of time and attention into what they wear. I say naturally because the movement today is a devilish thing where it's to unclothe and to just take them off, you know, and that's of the devil. The maniac of Gadara ran around naked in the tombs. I mean, that's something that comes from the devil. The flesh's desire and the natural desire is to put on something that's going to compliment you, compliment your figure, compliment your face, compliment your eyes, and that's just how it is. People think a lot of what they wear. Stories told of Frank Sinatra was getting ready to sing in front of a large audience and a radio audience, and Speaker of the House at the time, Samuel Rayburn, put his arm around Frank Sinatra and said, "So, Frank, are you going to sing for us tonight, The Yellow Rose of Texas?" And over the radio was heard Frank Sinatra saying, "Get your hands off the suit, creep." People think a lot of what they wear, and they sometimes think a little bit too much of what they wear. But today, as Americans, for the most part, Hollywood, the fashion goddess, pretty much controls what people wear. I mean, you know, Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus, and, you know, if you know who those people are, then you might be in this category that I'm shooting at tonight. Hollywood pretty much plays the tune, and the whole world is expected to bow down and worship at the sound of the instruments that they play. You know, when Hollywood tells the skirt to come up, it comes up. When Hollywood says, go down, it goes down. When Hollywood says, you know, for the shoes to come off, they come off. When it says, let them be sandals, they become sandals. When Hollywood tells the hair to grow, most Americans let it grow. And when Hollywood tells them to cut it off, they cut it off. It's pretty much programmed by the same person, the prince of the power of the air. And that's how most Americans are. And I take it that most of you here aren't like most Americans. I'd surely hope not. But at the same time, when you see somebody else wearing such and such, or you see somebody else doing such and such, you become a little envious, and sometimes you want to try to one-up them, you know, especially around Easter time or Christmas time. In this thing, men are as guilty as women are. Most of us men in here are thinking of women as well when it comes to clothes. And it's not all women's fault. Now, the women, naturally, they like to make their husbands look nice, and, you know, they do take care to dress up nice. The woman was shopping for her husband. She went to the sales clerk and said, "I'm looking for some alligator boots." And the sales clerk said, "All right, what size is your alligator?" Speaking of her husband. But, you know, men are as guilty as women are. The fact is today is, you know, men are wearing what was fashionable in the 70s and 60s. You know, they're wanting to bring it back. And, you know, I see men doing that more so than women are. And that's a sad thing. I mean, that's really sad because, you know, look at this face. Look at how, you know, we men aren't pretty. We're not the ones that need to be dressing up here, you know. So just cut it out. Quit kidding yourself. You know, a fella said, "My wife dresses to kill and cooks the same way." But just like we take some care in what we put on and what we clothe ourselves with, the Lord's desire is for us to be to Him a glory and for us to show off Him and to reflect Him. How much care do you take to make the Lord look good? I mean, when Monday or Tuesday comes around and, you know, the coworkers are listening to their country music and they say, "Hey, what was the Sunday message about there?" And the only thing you can come up with is, "It was from Luke." I mean, I know that and I didn't even hear it. I mean, you know, is that all you got? Well, the Lord's really done something for us. He's done at least 10 things for us, I know, because you all gave it to us right now. The Lord's done some really good things, and when His Word is preached, you know, what did He say in this passage? "Because they would not hear." What made this girdle unprofitable was that God's people just stopped hearing what He had to say. And by hearing, it didn't mean it didn't go in, but it meant that they didn't hearken, they didn't listen, they didn't pay attention to what the Lord wanted of them, what He expected of them. Now, before I go any farther, linen in this passage, he says, get a linen girdle. Linen is the clothing of the glorified Christ. All right, the first time it's mentioned in the Bible is Joseph. He gets a linen garment, and he takes the second chariot to Pharaoh. And, of course, Joseph's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Godhead. The other times it shows up is in the priest's garments. They wear linen garments that are supposed to be holy. And, of course, in the entire book of Jeremiah is in some places a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn this from the New Testament, where when folks were asked, "Hey, when the Lord asked folks, who do you think that I am?" Some people said, "You're Jeremiah." I mean, that's how much the Lord was like Jeremiah, was that people, by reading his book and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, thought of them as the same person. And in this passage, Jeremiah is a type of the Lord here. He puts on the garment, he takes it off, he buries it by the river Euphrates. He's a type of Christ. The application, what the Bible says about this to us, is that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I mean, if there's anything that would describe a decent set of clothes as not having no spot, I mean, no stains, no wrinkles, or any such thing, and it should be holy, it should be clean, without blemish. I mean, that's what a good pair of clothes is. And, you know, I think my wife would be really happy if I could get that part without spot down. I don't see spots. I tend to make them on clothes. more than anything. And but that is what the application is to you, Christian, is that you're supposed to be to the Lord without spot, without blemish, without a wrinkle. You've noticed in the passage in Jeremiah, he says, put it not in water. The Lord's desire is that he might wash you with the water of the word. But Jeremiah, when he puts on this girdle, which is to represent Israel, the Lord says, don't bother putting it in water because they refuse to hear my words. Don't bother to wash it. They wouldn't have it. And that's the Lord's putting in this parable some things that are coming right down to us as New Testament Christians. Let me say secondly that the Lord was embarrassed of his people because they refused to hearken to him because they ceased to be a glory to him. Verses 3 to 4, you'll see in the passage, and the Lord, word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah the second time, takes the girdle, and he goes and hides it in the hole of a rock by the river Euphrates. Now, again, historically, that's where Israel's going to go. They're going to fall there, and that's where they're going to fall flat on their face because they didn't listen to what the Lord said. And so the Lord told Jeremiah, just go bury it there. That's where they're going to be buried, is right there. Now, at first reading, you know, it looks like, well, you know, the earth is the type of the world, so the girdle goes to the earth and it turns bad, and therefore it's good for nothing to the Lord. But let me say this to you, that they didn't go bad by going to the world. God buried them there because they quit being useful and quit being a glory to him. You'll see in this town here alone of just 10,000 or so people, you'll find Christians out there that you have a hard time believing that they're Christians. And believe me, the world has an even harder time believing that they're Christians because they got offended at something the preacher said, because they couldn't get along with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Because a local church was just not good enough for them, they bounced from one to the other and they couldn't find anything that they liked. Saved, going to heaven, sealed with the Holy Spirit, but the Lord says, you're no use to me, and he takes them and puts them in the world. And in many a bar tonight and tomorrow and this weekend, there are going to be Christians that get drunk and get a little bit of courage and try to witness to their friends over Thanksgiving weekend. Believe me, it happens. I know these people. I know where it happens. And they'll try to witness, but you know what's going to happen? The world will laugh at them. And then when they sober up, they'll look to God and say, God, why did they laugh at me? And the Lord said, because you mocked at me, because you were finished with me, because you ceased to bring glory to me, I'm through with you. God throws them to the world. Don't think that you go to the world and then it's going to turn you bad. By the time you get to the world, it's over. The Lord says, that's it. Fine. They can have you. I don't need you anymore. And don't think that by God casting one or two of his children to the world that he's going to have a bad day about it. He'll still watch over you now. He'll still protect you to a certain degree. And he's going to take you to heaven, but you're not going to mess up his day one way or the other. Now in this, I mean, the practical application here, you know, and the illustration is very simple. I mean, have you ever dealt with a zipper that just didn't want to do what it was supposed to do? I mean, you're trying to get ready for school, and I don't know why I thought of Grant when I thought of this illustration. He's trying to get his zipper up, and Grant, we're leaving for school. Come on, Grant, you know, and he's trying to get his zipper up, and he just finally just ties the arms around himself and runs out the door. I don't know why I thought of him, but I know what that's like. I mean, we got to go, and, you know, you just can't get you fumble with the cuff so long that your fingers are about blistered, and you can't get the tie right, and, you know, just forget it. You're done with it. And I mean, I know what it's like to deal with clothes. I'm thankful I got married. You know, she has them sitting out there and usually has all the hard buttons already done for me, you know. So that's just great. But you know why the Lord was embarrassed of his people is because they ceased as a clothing. I'm going to talk about the purpose of clothing here. It's going to be deep now. They cease to bring compliments to the Lord, like clothes are supposed to bring you compliments, you know, if they're meant to be that noticeable. Your clothing shouldn't detriment you. It shouldn't take away from you. They should add to you. And they shouldn't draw the attention to themselves either. You know, clothing that's just gaudy, and I think of Renaissance pictures back then where they had the big collars that poofed around their head and the big cuffs, you know, and it was gold and blue and red and purple, and it was just, oh man, I can't believe they painted that kind of stuff. or that they wore that kind of stuff. And but people actually did, and they just thought that, you know, the more they looked like a peacock, the more impressive they were to everybody else. Christian, do you draw attention to the Lord, or have you become so good at what you are and what you do that it tends to all kind of come down to you, that the compliments all just kind of fall here, the buck stops here, and you know, it never really gets passed on to the one to whom it really belongs? You know, some of us now, we're not the Renaissance people that dress up too much. I mean, most of us look like we got dressed in the back of an airplane propeller or something. You know I do, getting ready for church or something. You just wear whatever flies at you. Now, the Lord was embarrassed of his people because they ceased to fit his image or to conform to his image. I mean, ain't nothing worse than a pair of pants that's just too tight. I mean, men, you know, too tight pants is not in style ever. Ever. Praise the Lord. Never, ever, ever. You know, and too loose of clothes. I mean, if it's just too big, it's just too big. That's all there is to it. You're not going to make it fit. You know, belts or suspenders, it just ain't going to work. You know, if it's too big, you give it to somebody that needs it. You know? But conforming to the image now strikes a familiar tune in your hearts and minds, I'm sure. You know, where it comes to conforming to the Lord, where the Lord wants tightness, where he wants it, the image to be tight, and where he lays down the law, we scream for our rights and protest to the Lord. I mean, we are glad to see it. We are the people's rights here. We, you know, we can't go to church all the time. We can't, you know, we can't study right after going to work all day. We've got to watch some TV to unwind. You know, I mean, even though the Lord did say, study to show thyself approved unto God, not just the preacher. I mean, we can only pray once a day. I mean, really, once a day. Do we have to pray more than that? You know, where the Lord lays down the law, we want liberty. And where the Lord says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, we become all dignified and say, well, I can't say amen in church. And, you know, that song's good, but it, you know, so-and-so wasn't singing right. And, you know, the piano was too fast. And, church isn't the place for that. You know, I think we ought to have more dignity in the house of God after all. Where the Lord says, hey, look what I've done for you. Let's show some excitement here, people. We become like, I don't know, like a dead idol, like a piece of wood. We just kind of fold our arms and lay down like King Tut and let the world roll right over us. Amen? They ceased to be a glory to him, and the Lord was embarrassed because they became soiled and wore out. I think of clothes that won't hold a crease anymore. You know, I mean, you wear a suit coat or a shirt so long, it'll stop holding that crease, and, you know, eventually it's just, you got to get rid of it. Just no good anymore. But let me say this while I'm thinking about a crease here. You know, what's not in my notes, I better get it while the trail's hot here. Clothes that are ironed constantly get a crease in them, and especially linen now. Linen isn't a real strong fabric, and if it's ironed a lot, it's going to get a crease that you pretty much can't undo. And let me tell you, parents, that if you train up your child in the way they ought to go, when the world tries to run that crease the other way, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to look good. Let me say that, because here goes a Christian that's been trained one way, and the heat's been put on, and they've been had the law laid down. The crease has been set, and the world says, no, let's flatten that out. We can't have a straight crease there, and they run it the other way. It's not going to look right. The world's going to know they're probably not one of us. You know, we'll take them, and we'll use them and abuse them and throw them out, but they're not one of us. Be thankful if you're under 30 in here, be thankful that you're in church tonight. You know, it is Thanksgiving Eve, and a lot of people get off work, and I mean, they've got a 4-day weekend, and you know where they're at. They're out blowing what they've earned and ruining their families and ruining their health and everything else. Be thankful the crease has been run a certain way. They cease to show his character. Like I said at the beginning, you are what you wear, and frivolous people wear frivolous things, and conservative people wear conservative things. What does the Lord expect out of us? He expects us to show off His character. Well, then the question is now, how well do you know the Lord? I mean, we're reading out of Jeremiah here. This is nowhere near New Testament doctrine, but it's all about Him. I mean, Jeremiah here is a picture of the Lord. How well do you know the Lord? You know, in the Gospels, in the book of Mark, there was a woman, as the Lord was going to heal a ruler's daughter, there was a woman that came and touched the hem of His garment and was healed of her infirmity. And the Lord said, virtue's gone out of me. I mean, does virtue, are you a channel for virtue? I mean, are you a channel for God to work a miracle in somebody's life? And not in healing their physical needs, but how about saving a soul from hell? Are you going to be used for that? Can you be used for that? Or are you unprofitable, good for nothing, thrown in the corner? It's dirty, it's got holes in it, it's no good, it doesn't fit me anymore. The Lord says, it doesn't bring me glory, I can't use them. How about it? Do you show off His character? We sing Channels Only, Blessed Master. And are we? We ought to pray for that. We sure ought to. The Lord was embarrassed because his clothing ceased to bring Him glory anymore. Last Sunday, I've come a couple Sundays and tried to practice my trumpet before church when the trailer park, everybody in my trailer park can't hear it, and you know, when pastor's hopefully not going to mind it too much, but you know, I get up and I'm all in the mood to play my trumpet, to just, you know, play for a couple minutes, and you know, I get it all warmed up, run through the scales, and I go to try and start a song, and the same vowel that sticks every time just sticks. I mean, it doesn't stick when you push it a million times, but when you want to use it, it sticks, and it's just aggravating. And if the thing wasn't so expensive, I'd have probably thrown it farther than I did last Sunday. But there's nothing more aggravating than something you take some care to. I mean, I oil it. I mean, that's where all the oil goes. It goes right to that one, the problem child there, the first valve. I mean, and it doesn't do it all the time. You can, you know, like I said, you can fool around forever, but go to play a song and it's going to stick on you for sure. There's nothing more aggravating than an instrument that doesn't do what it's supposed to do. You know, like a bowl that won't hold water, or a pair of clothes that's got a tear where you don't want it. You know, there's nothing more aggravating, Christian, for the Lord than when He wants to use you, when that prick comes and says, hey, give that person a track. Hey, why don't you start singing a hymn here to kind of override the filthy conversation that you're just letting run through your head? And let me say this, if you let it run through, you're allowing it. You're giving your consent to it. There's plenty of things you could say that would just really kill a bad conversation. How about when you hear a joke starting that you know's dirty because you've spent some time in the world? How about not letting it finish and saying, oh, I didn't see that one coming, and oh, that wasn't funny. Why not stop it before it starts? I mean, come on, be a little proactive here, Christian. Nothing more aggravating than something that a dutiless Christian, somebody that has no duty, no job to do, no work for the Lord, doesn't work, doesn't do what they're supposed to do, a Christian without a duty is a dead Christian. Faith without works is dead. You say, I've got faith, well, show me your faith by your works. I'm taking that right out of James, and that's not New Testament. That's not good New Testament doctrine either, Pastor. But it's good preaching. Faith without works is dead. Now, let me say this. Christ casts off His people Israel in this passage, and in history He does. He throws them aside. He sends them into captivity. And He casts off that garment that He had. That garment was supposed to give Him glory. Later in time, He casts off the garment of heavenly royalty, and He throws that aside and puts it down, puts it in the corner somewhere, and comes down to earth and takes on the form of a servant, becomes just like you and I are, and He lives like you and I live in the clothes that we wear and the food that we eat, and He lived just like we live. And last but not least, He gives away His cloak and His coat, just like He said in the Sermon on the Mount, if any man sue thee and take away thy coat, give him thy cloak also. And the Lord gave everything He had away till He was hanging naked on a cross, beaten, scarred, and bruised just for you. That's what the Lord did. He cast off His glory. He gave up an entire nation, in essence, so He could save you and me, Gentile dogs. I mean, that's a Bible term for what you and me are, is Gentiles, dogs. That's exactly what the Lord did. He gave up quite a bit for us. There was a governor of Massachusetts that lived around in the 1800s, in the later 1800s. His name was Governor Briggs. And this man was quite peculiar because everywhere he went, he wore a tie, but he wore a shirt with no collar. Now, in those days, they had separate collars for their shirts, and some of them had built-in collars like we have now. But everywhere he went, his tie was tied just around his bare neck, and he had a nice shirt on with a suit coat, and this man was a governor. Very prominent person. I mean, seen in the public eye all the time. But Ward, I mean, definitely not a fashion statement, as you can tell. It didn't stick. But someone asked him about why he dressed that way. And, you know, why, I mean, he's a governor. He ought to dress kind of respectable, like not looking like a goofball there, tying your tie around a bare neck. The story goes like this, is that he was talking with a drunk about his sin, about his drunkenness, and was trying to convince him that, hey, this is gluttony, this is sin, you don't need to be doing this, you're destroying your family. And as he reasoned with the man said, if you think my drinking is just frivolous and it's just selfish, then I think the way you dress and all you politicians dress is just frivolous, and you know, you spend all your money on clothes, you don't need to wear that fancy collar. And so the governor stuck out his hand and said, all right, we'll make a deal then. I won't wear a collar, you won't drink. And they shook hands, and that drunk never drank another drop till the day he died. And that governor never wore a collar till the day he died. They kept the vow. You know, that's kind of what the Lord did in a very small sort of way. We had sins that to us were just, we couldn't do anything with. We couldn't get rid of them. But the Lord said, hey, I'll give up everything if you give up everything that you have and trust me, and I'll take care of it all. And you, one day I stuck my hand out and I said, all right, I'll do it. I'm game for this. And the Lord said, all right, fine. Work was done. It is finished. Done on Calvary. Now live unto me a clean life. And it's not too much for him to ask for what he did. Last of all, in closing, the Lord's one day going to retrieve those that are His. In verses 6 and 7, we read in Jeremiah, and it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. One of these days, the Lord's going to change clothes again, as it were. He's going to put aside the church, and He's going to pick up Israel again, and He's going to dust them off and clean them up and send them through a little bit of trial, a little bit of hot water and agitation, and get them ready for Him to be a glory to Him again. Now, church, as we get closer to the Lord coming back, and as the days are like they are, the church as a whole, not specifically this local church, but church as a whole and Christianity as a whole is getting cooler and cooler and cooler. It's getting more lukewarm. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And the Lord's getting to a point where He's going to say one day, that's it. I'm done with you. And when He comes at the rapture, the Bible says He comes as a thief in the night. And a preacher made this application as a thief in the night. He comes into the house and finds the jewelry box and takes all the jewels out of the jewelry box, all the Christians that are serving Him and working for Him. And He finds some on display, some Christians that really went out of their way and gave of their lives to the Lord. But then as He's leaving the house, He notices by the sidewalk there in the mud, they dropped, there's a few jewels there in the mud. And, you know, of course, He's going to get all that are His, so He's got to pick them up and clean off all the mud and all the dirt and all the earth that's stuck with them. And He's going to get them, but they're just not found in the same place. I mean, they're not hanging in the closet that with the rest of the clothes that are worn regularly. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's in the wastebasket. It's in the dirty laundry there. Where are you going to be found when the Lord comes to call us home? when it's your time to go, maybe it's not the church's time to go, but when it's your time to go, how would the Lord find you standing with Him? Now, I don't put you responsible for the temperature of a church or of a nation, but I put you as responsible for your own self to the Lord. How is your relationship with the Lord? I mean, we've looked at clothing, and I hope that by this message, every time you put on a shirt or every time you put your shoes on, you think of being a glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you think of that because you want your shoes to do a job. You want them to keep your feet warm. You want them to not let the water in. I mean, how about trying to do something simple for the Lord like that and just being an honor and a glory to Him? I want you to turn one place in your Bible, if you would, to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Psalms, chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103, and we'll be reading down in verse 25. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, in today's proverb actually, Proverbs 25, as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. You know, the Lord one day had his garments taken away and was mocked, had songs sung to him. Prophesy, Jesus, hail, King of the Jews. And they cruelly entreated our Lord and Savior, as Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Christian, that place of scorning and ridicule is to be left for the world and left outside the doors of the church. You know, how about let's keep a good attitude in the church? How about let's keep a good spirit in the church? How about let's try to encourage the preacher rather than take notes on all the things that he does that you don't like? You know, how about let's not talk about how somebody smells or how they look when they come in or what so-and-so wore and try to get something about the Lord when you come to church? You know, I'm concentrating on in here. I could go outside of these doors now and tell you a million things you could do that would really, really help. I mean, come right from the Bible. A lot of things you could, in everything, give thanks. Boy, if we just started right there, you know, that would improve the quality of your life something fierce. You know, leave the place of taking away the garment and being an unprofitable garment. Leave that off to the world. I mean, there's enough people that hate the Lord that there doesn't need to be someone that sows discord among the brethren like the Lord hates. All right, that was free. Psalm chapter 103, verse 25. Now, in closing, the Bible says, of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. See, one day, not only is the Lord going to change off, He's going to take off Israel, He's going to take off the church, He's going to one day take off the entire universe and say, I'm starting all over again. Like I said, you know, evolution's crazy. We're not getting better. We're getting worse. It's deteriorating. One day the Lord says, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But He's the same, and His years shall have no end. Look at verse 28. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. What you are in eternity is determined by what you are with the Lord. How is your relationship with the Lord? I mean, if you're saved, you're going to be in this verse. You're going to endure. But are you going to be prosperous? Are you going to be happy for that millennium? Your relationship with the Lord, the world's going to change. Nations change. Society changes. The Lord doesn't change. Don't conform to society. What you do with them now, they'll look at you like you're crazy in 10 years. You know, don't follow Hollywood because their fashions change, and in 10 years they'll probably be saying, who is Miley Cyrus anyways? You know, that's how the world goes. They change, and the Lord's going to change them one of these days. He's going to be done with them. But now listen, going back to Jeremiah, the garment was unprofitable because they refused to hear my word, saith the Lord. It led to serving other gods. It led to other sins, but it started because they refuse to hear my words. How about getting to know the Lord and getting to know his character, getting to know what he likes and what he doesn't like, getting to know what he expects of you? And how about getting to know how you can be a blessing to him every now and then? Because if you know him, doesn't matter what changes, he doesn't change. And you can be to him a garment that's profitable, and you won't be like Israel in our text that was marred, and as the Bible says, it was good for nothing. Thinking about that, if you would stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Let's all stand. If we could, Elena, could we play Channels Only? The Lord desires that his people will bring him glory. The Lord was embarrassed over Israel because of what they did and how they treated him. And where's the Lord going to find you in that day, in the last day?
Are we singing?
Yeah, you go ahead and sing. Now, as Brother Ed sings there, if you want to come forward tonight, go ahead, just come forward. And if you need to deal with the Lord and need to tell him some things, need to thank him for some things, you just come ahead. Not been a very complicated message tonight, just something simple. We are the Lord's clothes. We give off his glory. Are you doing the best that you can? Grab your hymn book. You're on the third verse there. Page 332. Sing a verse of Channels Only, and consider what the Lord has said tonight.
With the night, heart is aching, setting free from self.